And he led me through a process of releasing that inner vow and basically repenting of it. And here's how I repented of it. Some of y'all probably need to let yourself have some emotions. Emotions are not evil. They're a gift from God. Jesus had emotions. He had greater joy than all his fellows. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew what emotions were. Emotions are not unholy. They're a gift from God, but when we don't know how to manage them properly, they will run our life and run us right into the ground. Do we have any stuffers? A couple of stuffers. Okay, and right, because it's safe, because you don't want everybody to know you're, you know, because that's not strong, right? So for me, it was a persona of strength. Right? Right? But that wasn't pleasing to God because I had stuffed it for so long. So when I repented, all right. I didn't know we were going here. Lady was praying for me, and I just thought she was as weird as a $3 bill. Some of you think I am. And she said one of those just weird prayers, you know. She said, "Lord, take Holly back through her life and be there at those times when you need her." And I'm thinking, whacka doodle. But guess what? He did. She was right on. It was a strange prayer. But in seconds, there was flashcards like bang, 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 bang. And I went, oh, I know what the problem is. I knew exactly what the problem was. It had to do with stuffing emotions. But my bigger problem for some people in here was I'd been raised up in the church to believe that women couldn't preach. But I also knew in my guts I was called to preach. I also knew God had called me to a particular church, which I loved, and I loved my pastor. And I knew I would be there till Jesus comes, and I would never, ever, 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 ever be allowed to preach because women can't preach. Now, I never said this, but in my soul, this is what I felt like. I felt like I was in the second-class railroad car, and only people in the first car were allowed to do certain things, but God had ordained me to be in this second car. So even though I hadn't spoken it or even really thought it through, part of my issue was, what the heck? And I'll tell you something else. I'm just really saying it here. I didn't really like that God made me a woman because I thought women were kind of weak and stupid. It's not true. And I knew I wasn't weak, and I knew I wasn't stupid. And I knew it wasn't true, but that's how they were portrayed. So I took on the persona of I'm strong, I'm like my dad, right? We do farms, we do business, that's what we do, and we do not do emotions. So I took on this entire identity that was a big, fat lie. So I said, I know what the problem is, and I know I needed to repent. So I said, and your repentance may be different because your issues won't be what mine were, but it's always repentance that brings healing. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. First of all, you know what you're doing. You chose for me to be a woman. And I don't know why, but you picked that for me. So right now, I just repent of ever thinking that that wasn't the best. And somehow, if you did call me to preach, somehow you're going to make a way. And Father, these emotions are a gift from you. I'm not going to stuff them anymore. You're going to teach me how to do it right. Jesus did it right. There must be a right way. So I repent. And it was like someone pulled a rubber stopper out of one of those old four-footed tubs, and all the water started going. I knew something had changed, but I didn't know what yet. A few days later, I was thinking about my grandma. Now, my grandma, I had the world's best grandma. And I know everyone's, no, mine's the best. But my grandma was just the kindest person I had ever known. And when we were little, she would rub your back. You know, you'd get in bed, and she'd just rub your back, and she'd rub circles, and she'd just do this little boom, boom, boom. And my back was kind of sore, and I remember thinking, oh, I wish my grandma was here. Now, my grandma had died 6 months earlier. My grandma knew Jesus. She read her Bible every day, went to church. She was an awesome saint of God. And I never cried at her funeral because I was like, you know, because I didn't have emotions. I don't do emotions. Grandma died, she's in heaven, hallelujah, let's move on. No problem. Now that I got healed, I start thinking about grandma, and I'm like, oh my God, I miss my grandma. I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Emotions that were normal and healthy started to be allowed to come out. I'm sitting at work one day, and I'm thinking, what is this feeling? I've never felt this before. And then I went, oh, this is anger. I'm mad. And by the way, it feels really good. I'm spitting mad. I didn't even know what anger was really like because I had never allowed it. And when you don't allow it, you know how it comes out? You suppress it, suppress it, suppress it, suppress it, and then you go, pow, and you explode on everybody in rage. And then that's not okay, so you stuff it, stuff it. But after I got free, God had to teach me how to have healthy emotions. And when he taught me how to have and allow healthy emotions, that was when I learned how to really forgive. See, before I forgave by faith, right? You forgive them, you bless them, because that's the right thing to do. But you know what? If you haven't dealt with it properly, it still rises up. You know why? Because it's still in there. Because you haven't fully dealt with it. And so God told me this weird thing. I'm just going to tell you. You might say, that's not scriptural. I'm just telling you how he did it with me. He said, I want you to take some note paper, Holly, and I want you to go back through your life. As far back as you can remember and write down the name of everyone that ever hurt you, embarrassed you, shamed you, made you feel bad, thinking this is weird, but okay. Took a few days, I might add. At the end of that, he said, now I want you to, just you and me, no one else in the room, Holly, just me and you, I'm your counselor. I want you to express to that person, just with me, exactly how that made you feel. And you might say, that's a bad confession. I'm just telling you what he said. As I did this, he allowed me to release, in a healthy, godly way, some emotions that I had held for 30 and 40 and 50 years. Now, I didn't know how powerful this was until I came to a man that had virtually destroyed my life. And we had a conversation. And I allowed these emotions to come out. And I knew that God was not condemning me. He was saying, I already see it. It's not like I don't know it's there. I'm just wanting you to get it outside of your body so you're not carrying it. So I began to vent a little, tell the person how it made me feel, the stuff they did, because my life had been destroyed. And at the end, this is what I heard myself say. Now, I'm just being very vulnerable, being transparent. I heard myself say, I hate you. And then I said, because I love you, and I wanted our marriage to work. And I thought, well, you look at that, I love him. Well, you look at that. I'm not mad at him, I love the guy. And prior to this, let me make this clear. I've always been big on forgiveness. We have to forgive. So I've always said, God bless them, forgive them, lay hands on their name, bless them, Lord. You know, always bless my enemies, always. But until that day, I didn't understand why sometimes they didn't seem to stay forgiven. It was because I was holding the emotions of what had happened. I did not know we were going here. After that, I realized you can handle emotions in a healthy way. And you know what happened? I became so whole. See, before this, I could never have a discussion with a person openly and say, you know, when you said that really bothered me. I could never do that because, oh, that might offend them, and we don't do that in our family. I have a mask, you know. But what happened is I began to be whole enough that I could go to people and say, you know, most of the time I'd just pray about it and just be dealt with, no problem. Love them, forgive them, forget it. But I became whole enough that I could go and say, hey, can we talk about this thing? Are we okay? Is everything okay? Because, you know, when you said that thing, you see how much more whole that is? So you don't have to fight with your spouse. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do that. You can actually talk to them like a person. You can actually share with them how you actually feel. You can actually say, what do you think about this? It doesn't have to be a fight. It doesn't have to be us and them. That's not God's system. It's not. Even with God. When you have a question with God, God actually likes it. When you say, listen, Father, I see your word here, and it's saying ABC, and I know you're always telling true. I know you're always true. But I'm struggling because over here I'm seeing this. But people say, oh, you can't. Oh, you know, don't bring that up. Listen, you know what? He likes it. Because he's your friend. Right. He likes when he's like, could you help me understand what happened there? My sister, my dear sister Julie, died of cancer. We're just laying it all out there. I was in faith. I thought she was in faith. She loved the Lord. And we all believed, we all prayed, and Julie died. Now, have you ever had someone die and you really were in faith and you know God's good and you know we believe God has healed everyone? What happened? And I went to the Lord because we're old friends. God wants you to come to him as an old friend. And I said, God, can you help me understand? I know you never do anything wrong. I know if there's a problem, it was probably me. But I'd like to understand this so it doesn't happen again. And God said, Holly, sometimes when somebody's been through a lot, and Julie had been through a lot even before she got sick, her life was very hard. He said, sometimes people get really tired. And he said, Julie was really tired and she really loved me. And when things got painful, she just said, Lord, could I please come home? And he said, all your faith will not stop that. Julie wanted to come home. Julie was delighted to come home. And I went, you know what? Thank you. See, God is your closest friend. And he does not mind honesty. We are doing relationships in a negative way sometimes. We don't have to. What would church be like if we could just come and talk to each other? And just say, hey, I kind of sense you're a little irked at me, which I totally get, because sometimes I'm not always the best, you know. But most people run, no, everything's fine, and then, you know, right? But that's not the way. Wouldn't it be better if we could just work through it together as a family? Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, I feel like I've delivered that message. Are you going to share something? Or are you going to? Come on, help me out here. Come on, Scanlon. I'm not sure if we're...
I don't know what we're doing.
Okay. Well, we're just asking. We're doing by the Spirit. I know. I feel like I'm done with that portion. Hallelujah.
I really feel like that was very important, what was just laid out about this treasure in earthen vessels, because sometimes we get caught up in the lies and get covered up in the lies. And I feel like the slate, let's just say, I feel like we've been opened up. Our vulnerabilities have you know, kind of like been washed away by truth. We're starting to recognize the lies that we believed and that we thought were true, and it's kind of like an aha moment, you know. And I, you know, as I was listening to Holly minister, I could feel the love of God. You know, I just love how much he loves us. And I know there's people in here who hear that and they go, amen. But they have no relationship with him because of the brokenness that they've come out of and the self-protection. And I just want to say, if that's you tonight, let's expose the enemy, the cockroach. Let's shine the light of God, on you, and let his glory bask over you and heal some of this stuff. And here's the thing, it's not a formula. It's not like, okay, do this and you get this. This is his presence ministering to you right now. But I also, at the same time, I want to say, and hear me when I say this. Some of you know my life. You've heard my history. If you hadn't, you'll hear it someday. I came out of drugs and alcohol, okay? I kind of wandered the streets a little bit, you know, and learned how to manipulate people, okay? So I came out of that. I was a great saleswoman, you know. I could sell you something even if you didn't need it. And so that was my false calling. You know, my calling is to show you the love of Christ and woo you with his presence. And it, what does it cost? It cost him everything and it cost me nothing. But I get to feel his presence and joy when another one gets snatched out of the kingdom of darkness. And so some of you are still battling. And this has been coming up, and I've been waiting. But, you know, he does everything in order. You know, otherwise, if he does something, you know, you ever make something, cook something, and forget an ingredient? Or maybe add too much? Or, you know, I'm not a great chef, but I know something about what I'm seeing a picture of, which I really don't know. It has eggs. I'm going to describe it. It's marmalade, and you whip it real fast. Meringue. I'm seeing that picture. And I know there's a sequence to that. And if you do it wrong, it doesn't work. And I don't know it, but I'm just, this is a reference point. And so when God is ministering, he does it in order so that that thing doesn't fall, but it stands like it's supposed to, stiff, against the schemes of the enemy. And so there's some of you who are godly women. I'm saying women because I want to call you out without calling you out. And I'm sure there's men in here too that have this issue. But there's, you know, I've been seeing this for a couple days. There's somebody in here who struggles with self-medication. I'll put it that way, gently. You're a woman of God, and you believe in God's word, and God's actually pressed on you a little bit to let go of that prescription pill that you're taking to ease your anxiety and help you at night sleep. And you've justified why you should still take this pill. And you actually are very dull, and you're, you think you're very spiritual, but you're very dull. And I'm not calling you out, I'm calling you in to the kingdom of God. See, you've believed the lie, but God is speaking truth right now, and so I command your ears to open, and that you receive the word of the Lord, and receive the hand of the Lord to pull you out of captivity, out of darkness, into the kingdom of light. And so right now, I break the hold off your mind, I command the enemy to loose and let go, and I command the word of God to set you free from addiction of prescription drugs in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Doing the freedom dance. And if that's you, you know, don't be shy. Get up and do the freedom dance. Come on.
Yeah.
I've been set free from so many things. I want to say something else. I know there's people in here who have struggled with drug addiction. And, you know, I've been through the 12-step program, okay? And that, I don't have anything bad to say about it, except for it didn't work for me. God set me free one night.
Yeah.
And I never struggled again with drugs or alcohol. In fact, I can drink, and I don't want to, but I could, and it doesn't, like, set me into a whatever they call that. Listen, what's that? Relapse? Yeah, hallelujah. That's not my, I've been severed from that. And what I'm saying is, there's people in here who are dabbling and struggling. You go in, you go out. You got program, you don't have program. You condemn yourself because you blew it. I know the guy.
Amen.
I know the guy. He showed up one night to me, and he set me free. And it didn't. I didn't have to go into detox. I didn't have to go and have, like, you know, I didn't have none of that. I didn't need the Valium to calm me down. None of that. It was instantaneously, and you know why? Because I was crying out, God, set me free. You cry out, God, set me free, and he will set you free. And only he will set you free. And he wants to set you free. All you got to do is say, help me, Jesus.
Amen.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And it's not just about alcohol. It's not just about drugs. Yeah, I've seen heroin addicts. I've seen them delivered like that. I'm amazed at his goodness. And only he can do it. And he wants to do it. Are you struggling? Are you on that stuff? Suboxone or whatever they call it nowadays, you know, the synthetic heroin? Are you just maintaining? Cry out to Jesus right now and he'll set you free. Call on the name of Jesus and he'll set you free. Don't look around. Look at yourself. Where's your heart? Where's your focus? Are you desperate for change? Did you come here tonight for victory? You got an area of sin you're struggling in? We need to put the masks away. Listen, I love the altar. I love what it represents. Come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain your freedom. Cry out and receive your freedom. And the best part is it's already been paid for. You don't have to pay. He paid through the blood of his son to set you free. And guess what? That son was resurrected out of the grave. That resurrection power is in you if you're born again. Call on it. Call on the blood. and receive your healing and your victory. He's no respecter of person. Street, doesn't matter. Housewife, living in the wherevers, the hills, doesn't matter. He sees you as his beloved. I love that. He doesn't see the blemishes, the scars, the woundings. He sees you and he releases into you his love when you catch his gaze. And how do you do it? It could be through the Word of God. You ever open the Word and all of a sudden you're just overcome by his goodness through his Word, and it like goes into you, and it's like, it's almost as you wear the Word. It becomes part of you. It's in you. And no matter what, that scripture is just like an anchor in your soul where, you know, I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost, one night I was laying in bed. I think it was the morning. And this scripture, I was like, whoa, what is this? I felt the presence come upon me. Steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that thing just rolled through me, that scripture. It was a living word that rolled through me. And I'm telling you, marked by God. And then it wasn't much later, I started to see stuff. And it could have caused me to be a little woozy, but I'm like steadfast, calling on the Word, calling on the Word, calling on the shield, swinging that Word, steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always, even when I'm sleeping. I'm just listening. Go ahead.
While she's listening, we covered a few things, and I felt like there are some people who your mask is finally cracking. You're finally going, you know what? I don't really want to have that anymore. You know, it gets old. It gets heavy, right? You're carrying on this, the fake you. And the whole time, God is he's loving the real you. But the pretend you that has to be strong and got it together and all that stuff, it actually blocks the glory of God from flowing through you to the level that it could. And I know I'm in a room full of people who want all that he's got.
Yes.
And so if you're in here and you just feel like, man, I'm tired of carrying that thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that anymore. Don't feel weird about it. Believe me. Everywhere we go, there are many people in the room that have had to, and we've had to do it. It's survival. It's not a sin. It's not even sin. It's a survival. You survive. But there comes a time when it no longer serves.
Right.
And the reason God may ask us to let that mask drop is because he wants you to get to know the real you, the one that he designed, the one that's fearfully and wonderfully made. The one that maybe doesn't have it all together all the time.
Amen.
Where it's okay. Where you're whole enough where you can say, I don't know. Holly, how does it? Well, I don't know. Holly, did you do this right? Nope, I screwed it up. See, when you're whole, it's okay. It's okay to be not perfect. Oh, my God. Because are we? Not yet. Not yet. Your spirit is, but the rest of you, well, we're still working on that. So I never want anyone to feel ashamed or embarrassed, yeah. But I rest assured there's many people in here that I believe he showed me are ready to say I'm done with that. So I'm going to have us say, I want to word this right. So what we're going to do is we're going to allow that to drop and break. So if this applies to you, or even if you just want to be gracious and help the other guys, say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't want to pretend anymore. I don't want to always have the strong front anymore. I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I want the real me, the one you designed, that holy thing. My real identity to stand forth. So, Father, if I've had a mask, I'm dropping it. I trust you as my protector. It's okay for me to be who I really am. Because you said I was fearfully and wonderfully made.
Help me get to know that me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I don't know what this one's about, but there's a few people in here, don't know how many, but there's some in here that when you grew up, you always felt like you got the leftovers. I'm not sure if this is about sibling rivalry or what this is about, but you always felt like other people got the best and you got what was left. And I don't know if you were abandoned. I don't know if you were an orphan. I don't know your story. But I believe there's more than one person in here that you were always made to feel like you weren't as important or as valued as other people. And what I saw is that little you grew up into the big you, and there's still some feeling of God chooses other people first. It's not true, but it's hard for you to accept that he could love you as much as he loves them. And you've watched other people get blessed, and it's kind of hurt. But the fact is, sometimes the reason they're blessed is they're able to believe for it, and you haven't been able to because you actually believed that you were a second-class citizen. You believed you were left out. And I don't know if that's one people or several, but I do know it's fairly common. Well, the Lord wants you to step up to first position. Imagine yourself in the airplane, and the flight attendant comes and says, "Excuse me, I have a seat for you in the first class." And the Lord wants you to be released from the idea of being the one outside the blessing, because it is a lie from the pit. God is not a respecter of persons, and he wants you to know that. I'm trying to decide if this is a proclamation, because it's probably only a couple people. So I guess I'm just going to have us say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm letting go of the lie that I'm somehow second class in any way. That you, I believe that you love me as much as anybody else. Because you're not a respecter of persons. You chose me. So today I'm renouncing the lie that somehow I'm less. I'm exposing it for the lie that it is. Satan, take your lie and go. I renounce it. Father, today I choose to believe your word that you truly are not a respecter of persons. I receive your love. I receive your anointing. And whatever my position is in the body, I'll embrace it joyfully and gladly. In Jesus' name. I just saw some go, boing. Okay, anything else? Is anyone dealing with anything in your heart? Don't leave bound. With the first day, Bill bailed us out. I said, is anybody having any issues? No, not us. I'm thinking, you are just fibbing. But if you're here, the reason I'm asking is today when I was praying, I saw someone with a very large root. And as you know, sometimes when we deal with these little lies and inner vows, sometimes we're dealing with peripheral stuff. But sometimes the real freedom comes when God can show us the root, the tap root of it, or the depth root of it. And I did see someone that was really struggling, and I knew that it was a lie they had believed. So, Lord, I'm just going to ask you to reveal to us if there's anything. We don't want to leave anything undealt with. See, the reason we do this isn't just so that you can get free. It's because when you get free, you're able to walk into the joy of the Lord, because you finally get who you are in Jesus and what his love means to you and what the gospel message really means. And you're able to have it, not somebody else. You're able to walk in it. You're able to believe for the great stuff. You're able to believe for the anointing. No one should be left behind. He didn't design it that way. If he did, he would be wicked. And he is not wicked. He's truly true and truly righteous. And so what, listen, you know what Jesus did? He died for the sins of the whole world. That means that any person, no matter where they found themselves, could come in and partake, could eat at the table with Father Abraham, could come and dine. He said he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But if you're too shy or embarrassed or think ill of yourself, or maybe you don't think God picked you, you stand back while everybody else dines and you feel bad about it. We don't want anybody there. Is there anyone here that feels like they want to deal with something openly? Don't be embarrassed. We've all got stuff. Is there anybody here? Yes, sir. Rejection. Okay, so rejection really is a lie. And that lie can have a spirit attached to it. And that spirit can say you're rejected by people, or you're rejected by family, you're rejected by spouse, you're rejected by the opposite sex, you're rejected by the church. And in its worst case, you feel rejected by God sometimes. And I had one lady tell me she rejected herself. And that self-rejection made her sick. Now I know, thank you, brother, for that, because I know that in this room there are a number of people who have dealt with this. Now, as I explained on the first day, when you believe something, how do we know it's a lie? It is contrary to the Word of God. Yeah. So our emotions say this is true, and our emotions are screaming at us, this is true. But it's not, because the Word has been written eternally settled in heaven, right? Heaven and earth hang on the words of the Lord. Amen. They do. All of heaven and earth is held together by the Word. So when we say, my feelings are this way, and this stronghold got me, we need to say, wait a minute, something's amok, right? Something's a mess. So what we're going to do, and you may not have this, okay? I was delivered from rejection, didn't even know I had it. And I was set free by Jesus. Thank you, God. But even though you may not have it, maybe you've never had it, we know there are people in here that that need to get free. So I'd like us all to just say, what we're going to do is release that the lie, because I wish we could reteach this, but the idea of a soul hook, let me just really quickly say this. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he's got nothing in me. There's nothing to attach to, right? He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So when there's a hook in the soul, a demon can come and hook on. So it may be just a lie. It may be a lie and a stronghold. It may be a lie and some strongholds, okay? But when you remove the lie, Satan loses legal access. He's lost his entry point, and he's got to go. And he can't come back, because now we've released our emotions into truth. So if you've ever had rejection or felt rejected, and you'll know this because you may have come to church and felt like, I don't fit in. I'm just a square peg in a round hole. Or they don't like me here. They never have understood me. You may feel like that sometimes. And what that is a lie. And it may be a spirit attached. So the Father's going to release us in this moment. We're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If I have believed a lie, that I was rejected, I ask you to take me right back to the root of that thing. Even if it was in the womb. Today I expose it as a lie. Because I see that it is in conflict with the Word of God. Which says that I'm accepted in the Beloved. I am loved by God. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So I expose it for the lie that it is. I renounce that lie. Devil, take your stuff and leave. I'm closing the door on rejection. And from this day, I am embracing the Word of God, which says I am accepted in the Beloved, which is Jesus. I've been translated into the family of God. I am loved by God Himself. I have my Father's stamp of approval. And if somebody doesn't like me, they're missing it. In Jesus' name. And that's the truth. God made you worth knowing. If somebody, you know, it's okay for somebody not to like me, because when you get whole, you kind of don't care. Because you don't need their approval. If God loves you, it doesn't matter. Some people, if they don't like you, they just don't know you well enough. If they don't like you, they may be judging something on their own issue. Right? Did anybody feel a release there?
Yeah.
Prayed with that lady who had self-rejection, and that demon left because it had lost legal entry. Now, there's some, when we were praying, the Lord did show me something, that there are some people whose parents actually said, whether it was in your earshot or not, but there were some people's parents actually said that you were an accident or not wanted. And some... Hallelujah! Yeah. Now, I know it's probably getting to be a little long. If you need to slip out, we will not be offended, okay? But we have a couple more lies that people are telling us about. I wanted to talk about this thing of you were an accident, maybe you weren't wanted. I was an accident. But here's what the Lord has told me about accidents. There's no such thing.
Amen.
That He thought clearly about the release of every person. He deliberately thought about you. You are not an accident. That is a lie. I met a woman who said her whole life, her folks, it was like the town joke, like her family joke, that you were the one we didn't want. You were the. It was like they were kidding. But, you know, that's kind of hard, isn't it? Sometimes kidding can be very painful, especially when it's a truth said in jest. But, you know, I'm just going to have you say, and I know this isn't everybody, but just humor me. Say, I know now that I was no accident.
I know now that I was no accident.
I was ordained by God in the heavens. In accordance with Psalm 139, the number of my days was written in His book before even one of them came to be. I was ordained by God. In Jesus' name. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Okay, we had someone talk about another lie, which was it's not enough to just be me. And that was probably when we were, you know, releasing the extras, right? Because sometimes don't we take on I'm the smart one, or I'm the one that's good in sports, or I'm the one with the great car, or I'm the one that's got the good business. Then we take that as our value, don't we? And one of the things God taught me is we want to transfer what gives us our value. Now, I'm not against, I mean, people work out to be these studly do-right. That's not wrong. You know, God bless you if you got that kind of fortitude. Hallelujah. Lay hands on me. But if you have to do that because that's your value, then something's not right. If a woman's only value is because she has certain kind of eyes, or that's not true value. That's not your value. That's a blessing. We love you. You're very beautiful. But your value is the person that God made you, and what He respects is on the inside. And we have to transfer that. So in the natural, we say, well, what if I'm not enough? Well, we're not. I'm not, I can tell you right now. In the natural, I have nothing to offer. You know what? I'm at total peace with that because I don't have to live in the natural. You're not a natural person. So if you feel like, what if I'm not enough? Well, Jesus in you, believe me, is more than enough. And you're not without Him. You're carrying the King.
You are a carrier of the King. So believe me when I say you are more than enough. So I'm going to have you say, Father, if I was made to feel less, I renounce that lie. Because me and Jesus are more than enough. Jesus in me is still the King going somewhere to happen. Jesus speaking through me is the glory. Jesus healing someone through me is all His glory. I'm just like the little donkey, not even a donkey, the foal of the donkey that He rode into town. Yay me.
Yay.
Isn't it cool to be the nothing that Jesus rides into town? Don't we think, oh, He should have been on a stallion? But it was the way of kings. It was. To ride in, not just on an ass, but the foal of an ass, is what the Bible says. The little one. The little nothing. The little humble nothing who didn't think He was great. I'd like to have a conversation with Him. He probably didn't think He was much. Can you imagine being that little foal of an ass? Somebody coming to get you. The Master needs you. Really? Yeah, He's going to ride into town today. And you're going to be the one He rides on. Said, but I'm nothing. Yeah, that's the point. He wants that. That's what He wants. Your value is not in you, it's in Him in you. And I pray that there's a shift in your values. See, we were lied to, brothers and sisters. The world system tells us every day that to have value, we have to be this kind of smart, drive that kind of car, have this kind of money, and this kind of house. We have to have these kind of muscles. But it's just not true. And if we have to be, what does it say? Be not conformed or poured into the mold of this world. So can you see that to chase all the stuff all your earthly friends are chasing is to be conformed to the image of this world. Let them chase it, but you don't have to chase it. You chase after Him.
Come on.
And when you get the goods, your friends will say, man, I want that. This stuff, this isn't fulfilling. You can get the house, the car, the girl or the guy. You can get the muscles and all the grades and the success and the money and then say, I'm still not happy. Happens all the time. Now what? And I say, don't waste your time. Open the closet. Go after the gold. Okay, anybody else? Is there anything else? Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so what you're saying, I missed one sentence, but what you're essentially saying is a parent can kind of word curse their own kids.
Yeah.
Right, and thank you, because that's a biggie. Yeah. And don't we sometimes, just even in a moment of frustration, we hear people say to their kids, can't you do any better than that, you know? Can't you, it's in a moment of frustration, right? How many times have I told you, don't you get it yet, right? Or how about to our spouse, right? Don't you still, how many times I said this to you? No, you still don't get it? You know, come on. We speak sometimes in the flesh. And so, but this is especially true. What she's saying is that she wants to deal with any word she may have spoken over her children. And so I think we could all do some of that for our kids, maybe our spouse, maybe our pastor, maybe the people in our lives. I hate to say it. Maybe even some politicians. Did you ever get mad and, row? Yeah, so we still have to pray for them, right? You say, even if they're a rat fink, yes, even if they're a rat fink. Yes, we do, we still have to pray for them. So what we're going to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of
I come before you. And I bring all of the words that I have spoken. Father, especially I bring before you any words that I've spoken over my children, my grandchildren, any co-workers, my boss, anyone in my family, my spouse, my pastor, or anyone else, my neighbors. Father, I'm truly sorry if I gave legal access to the enemy by word cursing them. Father, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to pour the blood of Jesus on those words. Render them null and void, powerless and ineffective. I release each and every person from any negative word I may have spoken. And I bless them. I bless their walk in God. I bless them to become strong in Jesus. In Jesus' name. Well, you can almost feel it. Oh, okay. You want to go a little more? Might as well get the... Okay, in case you haven't heard me talk about false expectations, I feel like I'm supposed to talk about that. False expectations are, and there's some going at me right now. Okay, I'm not looking. An expectation is when you, it can go two ways and both are damaging. It is when you expect certain behavior from a person or an organization that they are not capable of giving. And it upsets you because they aren't giving it to you. It's called a false expectation because it's actually not reasonable. So it does damage to them, but it also does damage to you. Sometimes people are praying for freedom from anger, but sometimes what you need freedom from is false expectations. I learned about this walking through a department store, going out the door, I'm carrying a heavy box, and a man in front of me who's carrying nothing drops a door in my face. And I'm thinking, didn't your mother ever teach you any manners? And the answer is no, she didn't. And I began to realize, God started teaching me that a false expectation, you begin to expect, see, I'm going by my mother's rules. Because my mother's, we were taught manners. Age before beauty, hold the door before for anyone that's carrying something. I don't care. You just never drop the door in somebody's face. You just don't. But most people were not raised by my mother. So I have an expectation that is unreasonable. And who's it hurting? Not the guy that dropped the door. It's hurting me because now I'm irked. And I got an attitude. And I have to mask it because I'm a Christian. And Christians don't get irked. So I'm saying, oh, God, deliver me from anger. But he's saying, no, you got to lie. He said, it is completely unreasonable to expect things from other people. What if somebody grew up and they didn't have parents? Some people don't know what knife goes where on the... Take, give me a break. And so I began to learn that a lot of things that frustrate us are because we are expecting things of people according to our standard. And they don't have that standard. Now let's go the other way. You may have people in your family who are expecting something from you that you cannot give. And they're always mad at you. And they're demanding something from you you can't give. That's also damaging. And so we have to get whole in both directions, don't we? Where I realize there are some people... I've had people who expected me to come to their house at 3 a.m. Now, it might happen, but there's times when I'm traveling. Well, I'm in Colorado, and they're coming to your house. And so, I'm not being mean, but they're mad because I didn't do something, I didn't live up to their standard of what a leader should do. What was somebody mad at me for last week? Something we actually laughed out loud because we were like, wait, you what? We didn't even know that was a thing. And they were mad because I didn't do whatever it was, and I've already forgot it. But I have to be whole enough to say, okay, I get it, that's your expectation. I'm going to fall short on that, right? I'm going to fall short on that because I do travel. I'm going to fall short in that I can't answer everybody's text because sometimes there's 20 emergencies in one day. And I love you, but it's not going to happen. And no matter how mad you get at me, I can't let that damage me or me either get under a burden of guilt or get cocky and arrogant. Right? I'm not saying I always do this right. Just saying that it can go both ways. So as I've been talking, you may have felt a little, God may be, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation may be nudging you a little. Maybe you're expecting something of your spouse that they can't give you. It's not that they're bad. It's that their entire history is different. They don't think that way. Edgar was the polar opposite of me. He had no manners. He was raised rough. He was a rough guy. Before he got saved, he was rough. He spoke rough. He was rough. And if I was expecting him to always speak in a soft tone of voice, woo-wee! Because he had a booming big voice, you know. But we have to learn about one another. Your spouse isn't you. And that's why you married them. Because they weren't you. You married them for some qualities they had. But now you're mad at them because they don't have the qualities you think they should have. Come on now. Well, I might as well just sweep out the closet. So if you've thought of expectations, you may have had expectations of your children. You know, oh boy, man, this is really getting in your underwear drawer. Do you know why a lot of people have OCD? OCD, I believe, many times, maybe most or all, comes from parents who were so demanding of perfection that if you didn't do it perfect, you were in trouble. And you were not valued. In fact, you were diminished as a person because you didn't do that thing good enough. And so you have to do everything perfect. I have a friend. She said she has to take a 45-minute shower every day because she has OCD, and it takes her that long to perfect, you know, because every strand of hair, everything, you know. If everything you do, that's actually bondage, right? If everything you have to do has to be perfect, how can you go through life? Because then if you should fall short, you're waiting for someone to hit you, or at least hit you with words, and maybe your parents have gone on home and they're not even here anymore, but you're still hearing their voice in your head saying that's not good enough. God doesn't want that for you. You know, God loves you even when you're a little messy. God loves us even when we don't get it right. And so, if you have expected your child to be the straight-A student or to be perfect, the best one in sports, what if they weren't built for that? What if the kid likes art instead? What if the kid has a real... Rick Renner. Anybody know Rick Renner?
Yes.
I think Rick is a genius and like a Greek scholar. What an amazing ministry he has. But he was like the nerd guy. He couldn't do sports. He was the geeky kid everybody thought was a nerd. He was kind of bullied. Nobody respected him. And he said he'd rather be in a museum, you know, or at the orchestra. But look at him now, and where are all those people that thought he was a nerd? We don't hear of them doing anything for God, right? So the measure that we are measured by most often is a false measure, even by loving parents, right? Sometimes even good parents can expect or demand us to go into a certain field. I have one friend that just demanded, his parents demanded he become a doctor, and he just didn't want to do it. He just didn't want to. And he kept coming saying, please pray, they just really want me to do this. I just really don't want to. And, you know, God blessed them. They wanted the best for him. They were probably thinking it was good. But what if he was called to something else?
Right.
So let's release others to find their fullness in God, whether it's your child. This may not be for everybody, okay? Maybe this is not you at all. But I'm just going to have you say, if I have expected things of other people, including my children, and including my spouse, and I've held them up to a standard that is really my standard, I'm sorry. I release them into your goodness to be the fullness of who they are. Lord, show me all the great things in them. Let me admire all the good things you put in them. And help me to stop demanding certain behaviors that are really my issue. Take this yardstick by which I measure people, Father, and break it over your knee. In Jesus' name. Because don't we do it? Don't we measure people? We're all made of clay, right? You know, we all have our stuff and our issues. We all have our goods and bads and greats and not so greats. But what if we could see in the Spirit? What if we could look into a person and not see all their blunders and their past and their issues when they say things wrong? What if we could see who God made them to be? Not even as they are today, but as they're going to be. You know how you get somebody free? Some of you think you get people free by beating on them. Don't do that anymore. That'll never get them free. They already know they're screwing up. That'll never help them. You know what you do? You tell them how you see them. God had me. There was a guy, I don't know, he was into drugs. Living with a girl. They were friends. They had come to church once. They were really messed up. And they had a little boy they'd had, you know, outside of marriage. And a little boy was growing up, and he was a mess. And there was, I'll be honest, I later found out there was all kinds of sin going on, even with the little boy, just things they were doing that were bad. And God said, let him go until the day I tell you. And some years went by, and God said, okay, today's the day, call him up. Now this guy, you know, really, you know, in your flesh, you kind of want to tell him, would you please just repent? You know, snap out of it, right? You know what the word of the Lord was? He said, I saw you on the dunghill, but I beheld a prince. I saw you as royalty. It's based on the scripture. And I went over there, and I'm blubbering and crying, puffy red face, and I said, this is what God says to you. I said, God saw you on the dung heap, but he sees you as royalty, sees you as a prince. And the guy had a joint, he put it out, he pushed it away, he pushed away the drugs. He changed, they got married, and they came back to church, and it stuck. See, I wasn't smart enough to do that. I wanted to rebuke him silly. Actually wanted to kind of slap him. But God knew this about him. No one had ever told him that he had any value at all. He'd always been told, you're a loser. And you know what losers think? Might as well do drugs. I'm never going to be anything. Why shouldn't I? Might as well have fun. I'm no good. Might as well just smoke another joint. See, here comes some blubbering, slobbering fool saying God sees you as a prince. And he goes, see, I didn't know this is what happened, but this is what happened. Inside him, he's like, really? You mean I'm not junk? Okay, then. I don't need drugs. Changed. Isn't God smart? We have to look at people as God does. I don't care if they stink. I don't care if they're homeless. I don't care if they're addicted. I don't care if they're obnoxious. I don't care if they're cussing at you. When you're trying to help them, focus on how God sees them as they're going to be someday, or as he would like to see them, okay? Okay. Anything else? Hallelujah. Oh, we got it. Oh, hallelujah. A couple more. Okay. Wait, say it again. You're... Your husband? Oh, you wish you would have, sure. So regret. There's some regret. Okay, regret is dreadful. Okay. Okay, so Father, I ask you to give me the words for this. I'm asking for the grace of the Lord. I'm starting to get a little tired. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I have done or said anything that was wrong, I'm so sorry. I ask you to remove it. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to remove all regret. And I release myself from every spirit of condemnation that would try to throw it in my face. In Jesus' name. Now, I will pray for you as well, as you know, because that was a big thing for me. But God will heal you. And you do not, listen, the devil's got nothing on you. And he can't get to you because of the blood, okay? No matter what happened. Yes, you had some.
I can't do it.
Amen. Well, now you're talking to somebody else who can't do it. But here's the good news. Until you know that, God can't do it through you. So you're actually ahead of most people. The grace of the Lord works best through people who know they don't have the ability. People who think that they have great ability will do it in their ability. So even though that may feel humbling, it's actually a reality of all of us that we just haven't realized yet. So instead of praying for you to be delivered for that, I'm actually asking God to give it to all of us. Because the truth is, until I knew how nothing I was, I thought it was something. And if you ever think God will use you based on your somethingness, you haven't died to self yet. But when you really get that you don't have it, you become like an open gateway for him to flow through you more than ever with all his power, all his knowledge, all his teaching ability, healing the sick. It's all there for you because he doesn't want to use people that have the ability. Look at Moses. He had no ability. The first thing, Moses, he comes to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to be my spokesman. So you know I can't talk, Lord. It's like the Lord's rolling his eyes. If you read it, the Lord actually gets a little aggravated. It's a little ticked at him. Like, really, what you're doing is you're saying, I can't do it, Moses. Right? But what God is saying is that very thing is the thing he wants to use. That very thing. See, you have humbled yourself. You have. And because of that, it says, if you humble yourself in the Lord, he will raise you up. Amen? Okay. Do you have anything you want to add to that? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Deb, come on up. Sometimes we end these with a video. First, I just want to say I love you guys. I am... You know, every group is different, but one thing I've seen is such wonderful hearts. You know, people who are willing to go, gee, do I have a problem? You know, not everybody will do that. So I'm really thankful for such wonderful hearts. And we asked Deb to come and sing the blessing, the Hebrew blessing over us. And you're going to sing it in English. Amen.
Amen. So just receive. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.